Have you ever wondered what to pray when you really are not sure actually what to pray? Has that ever been either something that you've wrestled with? And this could be sort of across the spectrum, what to pray for yourself, what to pray for a loved one, if you're a parent, your child or your children, your grandparent, for your grandchildren or great-grands, or even for your spouse or another person. I mean, if you've ever just wrestled with what do I actually pray, then you're going to love the scripture lesson. Sometimes when we read the scriptures, it's particularly in the New Testament, it might focus on maybe theology or maybe some aspect of application down the road. But then there are these passages like this one that is incredibly practical, just right from the very beginning. But if you've ever wondered what to pray and you didn't know, then I hope you will at least consider Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. Now, we're going through the book of Ephesians. Some of you are reading it in small groups. John and I are preaching on it every Sunday, and we're about halfway through this sermon series. And Paul, what we do know about Paul with the church at Ephesus, he was very familiar with them, spent a number of years with them, more so than any other church in the New Testament. And he, in the first part of the book, or the letter, he wrote to strengthen them. He wanted them to adhere to their convictions, to their values, to the concepts that they learned from him and what it meant to be in Christ. Because the goal for Paul, for the Ephesians, is maturation of faith. And that goal doesn't change even today. The goal of the Christian life is for us to mature in our faith. Faith is never designed to be stagnant or to be still. It is to grow. It is to move. It is to mature. In the first part of the book, actually the first three chapters, Paul does stress certain aspects of God. And if you're analyzing the book, we link most of that towards the theology of things. In chapter 1, he stressed their growth in knowledge and wisdom of God and to understand their life inside the larger purpose of how God works in the lives of people. In chapter 2, a very famous chapter where he reflected upon their journey and he reminded them, he said, at one time you were dead in your trespasses. You walked this way. And then in verse 4 of chapter 2, he said, but now you are alive in Christ. Because God, who is rich in mercy, has offered his grace to you. And actually, being alive in Christ now puts you a part of this new humanity, this new group, this new community. 2 weeks ago, we looked at that word new, and there's two words for new in the Greek. One of them is, if this is a new pair of glasses, and I take the glasses out of the box, it is a new pair of glasses, but it's not new in quality or new as in it's never existed. There have been a million glasses before this. That's not the word for new that is used to describe this new humanity. In chapter 2, that word new is not just it's new out of the box, but it's new as if to say it's never existed before now. And so he reminded the Ephesians, because God, who was rich in mercy, made you alive in Christ, and you're now part of this new entity, that God has removed all the dividing walls between people and God, between people and people, and they are to live out of this new reality. And at the end of chapter 3, moved by all of this, Paul stated, I'm grateful to you and to God, and for that I bow my knees in prayer. And then that last little bit that John read for you is what Paul prayed. And I offer this to you today as a template, or if you ever wondered what to pray, and you can't settle on the words, then I hope you will remember this passage. Again, if you are a parent, pray it for your children. If you're a grandparent, for your grandchildren, for your spouse, your loved ones, the people who are sitting next to you. And if you run out of people to pray for me. I will gladly take this, I promise you. And so what did Paul pray? First, he prayed for the Ephesians to be strengthened with power of the Holy Spirit in their inner being. He says, I want you to be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit, so much so that that Christ dwells in your heart. And that word, that strengthen, it's an inner strength. This is a resilience. This is an endurance. It's an inner fortification. It's power to live faithfully from the inside out, not the outside in. Like that word new, there are also two Greek words for the word dwell. One of them is that you dwell in a place or in a land, but you're there as a guest. You're there as a stranger. You're here today, but you're gone tomorrow. There's another word, katoikeo, which means that you are permanently fixed in that house or in that land. And it's permanent. It's long-lasting. It's got legs to it. And that's the word he used to describe Christ dwelling in you, which is this inner strength. See, this is not a here today and gone tomorrow type dwelling. It's a here today and here to stay, to the point that Christ plants your feet firmly and you know who you are in him. And that becomes how you live. So for your children or your grandchildren, what is the value of having their feet firmly planted and they live from the inside, who they are on the inside out, and not the outside in where they're swayed by external circumstances or influence? So if you don't know what to pray, start here. Oh God, may you strengthen them with the power of the Holy Spirit in their inner being, that Christ would dwell in their hearts. Not only for this inner fortitude, but that they would be rooted and grounded in love. That's the second thing he prayed for the Ephesians. In chapter 2, he reminded them that because God, rich in mercy, they are now alive in Christ, and they're part of this new humanity. And this new humanity, this new community, the preeminent virtue of this community, love. That's its currency. And it's not just any love. It's a love that models God's love that reconciles things. Which is why later on, when Paul was writing to a different church, the church in Corinth, he reminded them that God has given them a ministry of reconciliation, just as he does to us. He gave two analogies to explain this, rooted and grounded. So you think about someone's relationships, their friendships, their families, the premium of love that bonds people together, that seals them. You know, it's unfortunate that we often read 1 Corinthians 13, either at a wedding or maybe at a funeral. And we do that because it's very poetic, it's beautiful in its wording. But listen to this type of love. And this is the love that Paul prayed for the Ephesians, to be rooted and grounded in this type of love. It says, let your love is patient, it is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It's a love that does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth, because it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. And this is a love that never fails. Later on in that same chapter, actually, Paul would take multiple Christian endeavors and he would compare and contrast them to this level of love that he prayed for them to be rooted and grounded in. Things like prophecy, evangelism, knowledge, tongues. He says, as wonderful as each of those are, they pale in comparison when compared to this type of virtue. So here you are as a parent, or a grandparent, or a great-grandparent, or a spouse, or a friend, and you're wondering what to pray when you pray. Not only pray for them to be strengthened in the power of the Holy Spirit and their inner being, but because they are strengthened with the power of the Holy Spirit in their inner being, they're also rooted and grounded in love. And that's how they live. Paul also prayed, said, I pray for you, the Ephesians, that you may know Christ's love in all of its dimensions. The premium value of knowing that you actually are that deeply loved by God, and that there's nothing that can separate you from Christ's love. Now, for many, that probably conjures up something like Romans 8, where Paul, another beautiful passage in the New Testament, where he wrote so eloquently about the love of God, and he compares the love of God to a laundry list of things that someone might even assume would separate him. Things like depths and heights and valleys of sufferings and all that entails, and mountaintops that are filled with joy and bliss and everything in between. As if to say, whatever you can think of, I want you to put it on the table and then compare it to the love of Christ. And what you'll discover is that there's nothing that can separate you from that level of love. That's been my experience in 27 years of ministry, that when people, not even to the fullest, but when they sit with this for just a moment and they allow this level of love to seep into the fabric of their skin, this is when transformation takes hold. Because when you understand that you actually are loved that much, and there's not anything that you've done or doing or will do in the future that can ever separate you from that level of love, it's been my experience, that's when people stop pretending. They stop comparing themselves to other people. They stop projecting something that they think people want to see, and projecting maybe what they think they should be. It's when they are able just to sit with that level of love, they actually become themselves based in Christ. It's where real transformation takes place. Now, I get it. Some of you are probably sitting here or maybe at home, and you're even thinking about this one thing that says, okay, Shane, I hear what you're talking about. I've read Romans chapter 8, but if God only knew this, then that would disqualify me. That would put me outside of the bounds. Even that does not separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not anything in the past, the present, or the future. For you that are parents or grandparents, and you're thinking about your children and what you want them to become, what's the premium of praying that they know the love of Christ in all of its dimensions? And that becomes a part of their identity. And then the last thing he prayed for. He prayed for the Ephesians to be filled right up to the very fullness of God. That he wanted the Ephesians to grow into the fullness of things, to grow and to mature into the nature of Christ. It's been my experience that people who grow into this level of maturity, they are people that are seldom offended. Now, they might not like things. They might be angry with things. They just don't ping all over the walls because they've learned contentment. And they're living out of an inward peace. You get that by the fullness of God in your life. And the people who grow into this level of maturity, they experience a part of their life that yields a level of joy and contentment in all things. It doesn't mean they want, you know, everything. It doesn't mean everything in their life works out for them. They just are different in how they engage the world around them. Because what's a yield in their life is that year after year after year, they've lived in a life of submission to God. And so they live into the fullness of what it means to be in Him. There are a ton of things that you can pray. But if you ever find yourself at a loss, and you don't know what to pray, what words to use, even what template or format to, you're just sitting there, then I hope you'll remember what Paul prayed for the Ephesians. Pray it for yourself. Pray it for your children, for your grandchildren. Pray it for me. It is to be strengthened with the power of the Holy Spirit in your inner being. That level of fortitude. And out of that, you would be rooted and grounded in love, and that you would know the love of Christ in all of its dimensions, and that you would live right up to the very fullness of God and the contentment that that brings. This is a great prayer to pray. I have prayed it hundreds of times. And if you're ever at a loss, I hope you will borrow a prayer from Paul. So may it be for you, my friends. Let us pray. For all of us, O God, strengthen us in the power of your Holy Spirit. And that you would root us and ground us in love, O Lord, that would be the virtue, the dominant virtue in our life. And that in each moment of the day that we grow in love of Christ, to experience that in all of its dimensions. And that we would be filled to the very fullness of God. O Lord, we humble ourselves before you at this moment, and we open ourselves to you, to your Spirit, that you would do this inside of us. And we pray this now in your name. Amen.